Hello, I'm calling the meeting to order. Madam Clerk, do we have a quorum?
We do have a quorum with all members present. Member Dunleavy, President Dunleavy, participating by phone.
Member Dunleavy, are you on the line? Okay, if you would, when you speak, if you would please speak a little louder, that would be great. Who has the goals? Sarah?
Okay. Matt Nuska, Sitna Borough School District. Our vision: Matsuk Borough School District will be a model of excellence in teaching, learning, and engaging all students. Mission: Matsuk Borough School District prepares students for success. Beliefs: we believe that all students can and want to learn. Success breeds success. The need and best interests of students drive all decisions. Stakeholders' participation is crucial to student success. Our core values: stewardship, accountability, empathy, quality, integrity, efficiency, respect, lack of reprisal. Our goals: we will improve student success, achievement, and performance by focusing on their career and college readiness. We will increase the graduation rate. Our schools will welcome families and community members in the education of our youth. We will create and maintain a safe and healthy environment for all our students and staff.
Thank you. Ms. Delaney Mitchell, our new student rep, would you please lead us on the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And our first item is the approval of the agenda. Do we have a motion?
I make a motion that we approve the agenda.
Moved by Member Lacey. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Second by Member Poucher. Because Member Dunleavy is on the phone, we have to do a roll call. So Member Dunleavy?
Yes.
Member Larson?
Yes.
Member Gaddis?
Yes.
Member Poucher?
Yes.
I vote yes. Member Lacey?
Yes.
Member Welton?
Yes.
Okay. We have persons to be heard on non-agenda items, and I have to read the rules. Is that what we... Yeah. Okay. Did you...
Before we get to that, we have a couple new people at the table.
Okay.
Can we...
Absolutely.
Maybe introduce them?
Absolutely. So if you would please introduce yourself, that would be fantastic.
Gene Stone, and just recently accepted the position for the Assistant Superintendent of Instruction and Education.
Okay. And our new student rep, you want to say something?
Oh, that's okay.
Are you sure? What's your name? I know I just mentioned it. But.
My name is Delaney Mitchell, and as you said, I'm the new student representative for the school board this year.
All right. What school do you go to?
I go to Palmer High School.
Welcome. Thank you. Okay. So I'm going to read the rules. The speaker states his or her name for the record. The speaker is limited to 3 minutes per meeting. The speaker is limited to non-agenda items. Agenda items will be open for public comment as they appear on the agenda. The speaker's comments should be appropriate for all audiences, including school-age children. The speaker is limited to comments of a general nature, positive or negative, which may not be attributable to any specific individual. Issues involving concerns specific to any single individual should be submitted in writing and given to the board clerk to be resolved. The issue may be determined to be appropriate for persons to be heard or may be handled in executive session or may be routed through a more appropriate complaint process. No disturbance or willful interruption of any board meeting shall be permitted. Persistence by any individual group shall be grounds for the chair to terminate the privilege of addressing the meeting. The board may remove disruptive individuals and order the room cleared if necessary. This is not a question and answer time. Speakers may be referred to the superintendent or designee or take the issue under advisement. Maximum of 1 hour per meeting. Madam Clerk, do we have anyone on the list?
We don't have anyone signed up for this first open comments.
Okay. Is there anyone in the audience who would like to speak? Please state your name for the record.
My name is Jill Showman. I'm the president of the Matsu Education Association. It's just wanted to let you know, talking to members today, they are excited about the new school year. a lot of changes. I know that the seven-period day has been a little tough on some of the high school, probably the students, the parents, as well as the staff. But I'm sure that they'll be able to ride through those changes. Just wanted to say it's great to have the open communication that we've been able to have so far with Dr. Paramo, and I look forward to talking to you throughout the year, look forward to a great school year. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else in the audience who would like to speak? Please state your name for the record.
Good evening, Lori Miner, President, Classified Employees Association. I, too, would like to welcome our new board members and our student advisor, and thank Mr. Stone for his appointment. I attended a brief breakfast this morning with retired teachers, and the topic of discussion was the bond. They were very excited and pleased to hear the district was able to put forth and work with the Borough Assembly on that bond. So we look forward to upcoming meetings with you. I'd like to thank Mr. Forrester and Ms. Gardner for the work that we have been doing in the last couple of days on moving some open positions and some employees. So thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else in the audience who would like to speak? Okay. There will be another opportunity later on in the meeting. Do we have any Borough and City reports today? Seeing none. Administrative reports. State testing update. Dr. Paramo.
Thank you. For this report, in the future, I will be requesting and asking Mr. Gene Stone and his team to put it together, but as I put it together in the midst of his being hired. So I'm going to report on the state testing, and the board does have three short slides. And I'm just going to review them. I know that Member Cordero and Member Gaddis are new to the team as of the report on data occurred prior to you coming on last year. Oh, Mr. Cordero's not. Sorry. Mr. Lacey. Sorry about that.
Okay.
Eric, you've heard me before then. The chair has heard this before. In the packet, and for those of you in the audience, we do have a report of the last 5 years for all 44 schools in the Mat-Su Borough School District, noting the areas in NCLB in which schools do make AYP or do fall short. And I'm going to review the terminology, again, for Board Member Lacey and Gaddis in a very brief manner, and it is up on the overhead for the audience. Almost, definitely. We'll start with the terminology, and please know that the state assessment is called the standards-based assessment. You may also see this referred to as SBA. There's another term that is annual measurable objective, which is an AMO. And basically, the AMO is essentially the target for which we either make AYP or not make AYP. It's actually the percentage of students that must pass the exam. AYP is the localized term, and it actually stands for adequate yearly progress, and every state uses that term because it does come right from the No Child Left Behind legislation. Adequate yearly progress is not found on just one indicator. It's actually 31 different indicators per school that a school must pass in order to make adequate yearly progress. So please note that all schools in all subcategories must make a 95% participation rate. So that means that all students, as they aggregate, must meet 95%, but then we must break it down into our students of Hispanic descent, non-white Hispanic is what it is, students with disabilities, economically disadvantaged. So each category actually individually has to have 95% as well. We do have 10 groups that are determined AYP, and those are school as a whole. Six groups represent race and ethnicity, and three are special population groups. And if you do look at the colored matrix, the very back, will actually show you those subgroups and provide a definition for you. The 31st category is called the other indicator, and for high schools, it is the graduation rate, and for elementary schools, it is the attendance rate. So that was determined by the state of Alaska. Through the legislation, each state could choose what they wanted their other indicator. Please note that the graduation rate went up from a target of 57%, to 85% in 1 year. So the AMO, or the target that we had to make, was 85% of students graduating in 4 years or less. So to provide you some data, if we have 31 indicators for 44 schools, there are 1,364 ways in which MATSU must make AYP, or that many ways in which we do not. Please note that MATSU Borough School District missed 73 out of the 1,364 categories. Some more information in regards to MATSU. I'll let you know where those categories focus and where the instruction department's focus lies then with those data. Please know that MATSU has about 17,000 students. If you were to compare this around the state, there are 132,000 students in the state of Alaska, K-12. And so we are about 13% of the entire state's population. So when I refer to the state scores, please know that MATSU is included in those scores. Okay, so 13% of those scores are made up of MATSU. 15% of our students are students with disabilities in the MATSU Borough School District. 26 of the 73 categories, which you will find on these colored sheets, 26 of those were in the categories for students with disabilities, either in language or math. The economically disadvantaged students in grades 3 through 10 represent 33% of our school district. So one-third of every child attending a MATSU school is under the poverty as determined by the federal lunch program. 13 categories out of the 73 were with economically disadvantaged students, or the short label is ED. About 9.8% are Alaska Native and American Indian students who took the test. 8 of the 73 missed categories for MATSU were in this area. And finally, another area of focus for us in which we missed were about 2.5% of our student population, or 420 students, missed in AYP under limited English proficiency. So these four areas are the areas in which we look to improve. We use our data not as a gotcha and oops, look, we found out. We look at it as a holistic view, as well as breaking it down into this disaggregated groups to find out where is the most need. Please know that this year, using our Tyler Pulse, we have, because economically disadvantaged for the first year showed up because of the new targets for AMO, we have unlocked and using Tyler Pulse to use the system to better determine who the students are that we need to serve. I wanted to provide a visual example over the next two slides, which is on the back of your notes page, of MATSU and math. I always like to provide data over time so that you can see a trend. What you see before you are grades 3 through 10 in over three-year cohorts. So these three lines here are the third grade in 09, 10, 11, fourth grade 9, 10, 11. And these were colored by an expert of mine, Kathy Moffitt, so that we could be sure to see the differences. The target, what I talked about, or the AMO, is this red line. If you notice, in 08, 09, and 10, the AMO, or the target, stayed the same. Last year, the fiscal year of 2011, which is last year, the data that we have before us, this was the new target. Okay, so we had the target moves, which is the number of kids who need to pass. Next year, please note, it jumps again, 2013, 2014. NCLB was written in 2001 to be sure that all schools in 14 years would have all their students meeting the standard. Okay, so this is where we were. And I wanted these red lines in so that you can see the difficulty. In the news, you might have known that some schools are asking for waivers for AYP. Basically, what they're asking for is to leave these AMOs the same. They're not asking not to test students. They're not asking to lower standards. They're just asking for these AMOs. Give us more time, because year after year after year, 5% is very difficult. So what you notice is around the state as well as in MATSU, and actually if you had 5 years, you could see that we climbed, and then there was a dip. Notice the state dip, and then MATSU also took a dip. This occurred just about every grade level across the state in every district. In MATSU, we kind of turned it around in our high schools, so we didn't lose as much. In speaking with the state, the anomaly happened across the state everywhere, and so much so that EED requested from the DRC, which is the company that makes the test, to rerun the samples because they didn't believe that everyone could go down. And what they found was that these are true results, and that statistically the state did go down 5 to 6%, but they said if you were between 2 and 3, 2.5, it wasn't a statistical significance. So our largest drop was 3, but most of our drops were about 1 or 2%, and they basically said that was the standard measurement error. So we pretty much held ground in MATSU, but what they determined through their study was that the 300 range is the passing score. And there's some kids get 301 or 298, and you're either a pass or a fail then. So the students around the passing mark are what caused the anomaly, is what they're finding out. So they did an extensive study in EED. But this is our math scores. So you can see that we are included in the state mean, but our means consistently over time have been higher than the performance in the state. The next slide is the reading portion of the assessment. Again, the AMOs stayed the same, or the target, the annual measurable objectives stayed the same. It jumped last year. A lot of us still made it. But look what's going to happen in 2013-14. So we made some jumps in our reading over time, and are just looking to improve in certain categories. So this, what you're looking at are the percents of students who pass in the aggregate. So this is all of third grade, all of fourth grade, the aggregate, not disaggregated. So you're looking at the whole third grade of MATSU compared to the whole third grade, if you will, of the entire state, the whole fourth grade, the whole fifth grade. And I hope these data provide some information and some insight. A large report will be published in the newspaper. We take a large matrix, take up a whole page to determine the and provide the same information that you have in your packet in a colored form so that you can look through it easily. That will be going out very soon. We publish it the last week of August. We'll also share the information on our data, how we did this year as in comparison to the state. But please know that the number of schools who made adequate yearly progress did decrease from last year. We have 20 schools that made adequate yearly progress and 24 schools that did not. And each year we will probably find the whole school's performance not making it, because every subgroup, remember there's 1,300, 1,364 ways that you must achieve in order to make AYP in our district. And I am here for any questions. I just wanted to make this as brief as possible, but as understandable as possible.
Are there any questions from members of the board? Member Gaddis, then Member Larson.
I have the question for the superintendent. You indicated that we're going to put a newspaper ad out, and myself as a parent, I've seen those ads, and we don't know how to read them. Is there a better way to put out what our schools are really doing, kind of in non-edu language, maybe right next to it, because I think that a lot of people see that their schools didn't make AYP, therefore they're not a good school. So we need to do a better job of educating our parents on what that really means and how great our schools are.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because that is the plan. We especially at this time, we need to surely have folks understand what these mean and what they can't tell you about a school. And so an article is actually going to be written along with the matrix.
Member Larson and Member Welton.
So next year's AYP is the 2012, is that correct? Or is it the 2011 one?
Through the chair?
Yes.
Yes, 2000. It will be fiscal year 2012. So you'll look at 2012.
What's the plan for the tier system as we fail? I mean, it tells you you have to do, you know, fire teachers, fire principals. What are we going to do? I mean, we're never going to make 2014. So, I mean, is there some sort of plan?
Okay. Well, we do have a plan. The consequences fall on schools that are Title I schools. So if we have a school that is non-title, there aren't any consequences from the state level or federal level. Our title schools, we do have on plans of improvement, and a lot of them have chosen specific curriculum or other items to improve with experts coming in, and we have shown those improvements. If you look over time, Big Lake was one of those that just shot up right away, always worked on working with experts. It's one of our highest poverty schools, yet they do well. It's going to be impossible across the nation for every school to be shut down. Currently, Alaska has about 48 of its schools that are successful and 52 that are not. Mr. Duncan from the Washington believes that, you know, it's going to move up 20% every year because of those AMOs across the nation. We believe, and we've always worked with No Child Left Behind, that really is means that every child will be successful, and we use these data to target what we need, but we celebrate what we can do, learn from what we don't. Our state doesn't just close down schools. They have other options, and Lisa Murkowski has been very supportive of those.
Okay. Thank you. Member Welton and...
Member Larson actually asked the question I was going to ask. So just an understanding that it's Title I schools that if they have not made it for a period of time, that they will have to have some reorganization of some kind. Are there any in our district that actually will have to do that this year?
Not this year, but please note that we have Berchelle High School and American Charter Academy that actually chose one of the new plans, which was receiving the school improvement grants, and both of those schools were level 5 schools on multiple years. So we do have some schools in our district that are working cooperatively, and they did technically replace principals at the school, or change to a charter school was one of the issues. And as you know, just changing to a charter school isn't the answer. It really improves. It's about improving teaching, working with kids, catching them young. So there's lots of factors that go into a school's success. But we're working with those schools, working with the federal government to receive funds to help us work with those schools. But there will be a change nationally because so many schools are and states are in this time.
Yes, please.
Are we going to be looking at those that did make it and see what they do differently, so that those things that we can point out that these might be the factors and use evidence-based ways to figure out what really does work?
Absolutely, Ms. Walton. That's critical. That's what is the culture of Mat-Su School District, and I believe that our principals seek each other out regularly. With a grant, we did hire Carl Schleich to do walkthroughs, so he actually has formed groups of principals to study other teachers and learn from other teachers about what works best for them. How they're doing in their classrooms so that principals can learn not only from other principals but from other teachers in other buildings. And so we've set up those networking opportunities for principals, so hopefully that they will share those opportunities then again with their teachers to create that openness of sharing and of learning from each other to really offer the best to kids.
Thank you. Member Dunleavy on the phone, do you have any questions? Okay. Member Larson?
Yeah, just a follow-up question. So what you're telling me, it's going to be impossible to maintain this, and you think something's going to happen federally, but at the same time, we're going to show how we are trying to improve all the time, including the walkthroughs, including other training and other curriculum. But we're not going to change our whole curriculum upside down because we don't make AYP.
No, actually, we made some large curricular changes and have seen growth ever since. Even the areas, if you will, Wasilla Middle School, for instance, if I might mention, under the leadership of Ms. Spargo, has a large subpopulation of special education, and they didn't make it this year, but they show and demonstrate about a 7 to 10% increase in that population making it every year. So while they didn't hit the target, I think this is what Member Gaddis was saying, although they didn't hit the target of 85% of the kids in special education passing the exam, they've improved year after year after year, and we have those data to evidence that growth.
Thank you. And I have a question. You mentioned about the waivers. My understanding was that the states could also request a waiver from NCLB altogether, or is that just for the benchmarks?
There have been states that requested to leave NCLB altogether. However, they would also give up the federal funding for special education and federal programs. So they chose not to do that. Now the waivers are really for leaving the AMOs the same. One state was turned down. Another state was approved. And so folks are scrambling to figure out why was one approved and one not. It could have been that the AMO jumped in one and the other one was there 7 years and they asked it to stay. So Alaska, our association in Alaska is studying that and hopefully going to request that waiver as well, that maybe we can stay for the same AMO. Otherwise, next year, it will look even bleaker because we're jumping by 5%.
Member Lacey?
Yes, I see in a number of schools our Alaska Native population is below the average. As a parent of an Alaska Native student, how are we going to facilitate their learning? More tutors?
We have hired staff to do that, and through federal programs we have offered and gone into partnerships with some tribal councils to offer assistance in additional tutoring, going into homes when children are even before preschool. And then part of the opening day and the focus, which we discussed in the metrics, is really discussing how can we improve teaching so that we're including a whole population, because it's not about the race or ethnicity or the household for which a child was born into. I mean, we all should be born with that clean slate, if you will, and then we can do our best in schools. So we're trying to find out, are there manners in which we teach that would be better for certain kids than others? And that's what we're working on.
Thank you. Member Bowser, do you have any? And Mike, this is your last chance. Do you have any questions? I'm sorry, I could not hear that. Thank you. The next item on the agenda is the superintendent update and the student advisory board report. Let's start with your report, please, Dr. Paramo.
Thank you. This will be brief, as I just spoke for a few minutes. Please know that today was the first day of school, and it went fabulously, and I certainly appreciate Ms. Showman sharing that. Please know that we are 100 teachers and very many classified staff under what we were last year, and the morale and positive of staff really helped with the community service responding to parents. So I believe the staffs in schools did a fabulous job. We are currently 681 students under projection, and please don't feel that that number is alarming. We were further away at this time on the first day last year by about 400 students. So we do believe we'll make our target. 300 of those students are at Mat-Su Central School, and Mat-Su Central School's population grows all the way up through count. And so we're confident of making those numbers. I did, and several other staff visited schools, and again, I just can't say how happy a lot of folks were. We did need to identify 5 teachers that will be moved most likely to other schools. We do have 2 schools in elementary that are significantly over, which are Mockitons and Larson. And so we have adjusted those for tomorrow to have additional teachers. We are not hiring anyone outside of the district. We're not going to use money we don't have. And so staff is talking with their principals. They're asking for volunteers of folks that might want to move, and that has happened because folks want to live closer to their homes or things like that. So we're offering it to those volunteers first. And this is actually the quickest we've ever been able to narrow down the staff for which we might need to add to buildings. A lot of times it happens within the first 2 weeks of school, but we're already moving, and we believe that has a lot to do with registration. And we're going to get better next year. Next year we're not going to have any paperwork where you have to sign and turn in. It's all going to be electronic. And work through that, work through email system and setting schedules and changing schedules. So that's the target. We had over 90% of our students registered online, which is pretty significant the first year. I want you to note that the permanent fund didn't even have 100 people the first year they went online, or 100% or 90% the first year that they went on to get a dividend, and they had money behind it. So I was pretty proud of that and the work of the IT department and the principals to help get the word out. So I just appreciate it, and we're going to have an even better day tomorrow.
Thank you. Any questions for Dr. Paramo on her report? Okay. Delaney, first of all, welcome to the board, and we really appreciate that you're here and that the students are represented through you. Please feel free to weigh in on any of the items that we discuss in the agenda, and you can also do an advisory vote on items that you want to vote on. And so please, if you have anything to report to us right now, would be the time.
Seeing as though the Student Advisory Board hasn't had their first meeting of this year, I do not have an official report prepared for this evening, but we will have a meeting at the beginning of September, so for that next school board meeting, I'll have a report for our first meeting of the year.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, the next item on the agenda is a consent agenda. Do we have a motion?
I make a motion that we approve the consent agenda.
Okay, moved by Member Lacey. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second by Member Larson. Let's take a vote. Member Larson? Oh.
You need to read them all.
Oh, I'm sorry. A, minutes July 28, 2011. B, minutes August 3, 2011. C, 12-015, recommendation for certified new hires. D, 12-016, recommendation for retired rehires. So let's take a vote. Member Larson?
Yes.
Member Dunleavy?
Yes.
Member Gaddis?
Yes.
Member Powger?
Yes.
I vote yes. Member Lacey?
Yes.
Member Welton?
Yes.
Okay, it passes. And we're now on the action items. A-12-008, second reading, board policy 9123, clerk. Do we have a staff report?
No, sir.
Okay. Anyone in the audience who would like to speak about on this item? Okay. Do we have a motion?
I move to approve item A-12-008, second reading, clerk.
Okay. Second.
Moved by Member Powger, second by Member Larson. Any discussion? Okay, let's take a vote. Member Dunleavy? Member Larson?
Yes.
Member Gaddis?
Yes.
Member Powger?
Yes.
Member Welton?
Yes.
Member Lacey?
Yes.
And I vote yes. B, 12-009, second reading, board policy 9240, board development. Do we have a staff report?
No, sir.
Okay. Anyone in the audience who would like to speak on this? Okay. Do we have a motion?
Make a motion to accept 12-009, board policy 9240, the board development.
Moved by Member Welton. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Second by Member Powger, 12-009, second reading, board policy 9240, board development. Member, any discussion? Okay, let's vote. Member Dunleavy? Member Larson?
Yes.
Member Gaddis?
Yes.
Member Powger?
Yes.
Member Welton?
Yes.
Member Lacey?
Yes.
And I vote yes. Next item, 12-010, second reading, board policy 9322, agenda, meeting materials. Do we have a staff report?
No, sir.
Okay. Anyone in the audience who would like to speak about that? Okay. Do we have a motion?
I move to approve item 12010, meeting, I'm sorry, Frontieris Charter School Year Calendar Amendment, and it's 12-011.
No, that would be item C, 12-010.
12-010, second reading, board policy, agenda meeting materials.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
Sorry. I'll second it.
Okay, moved by Member Powger, second by Member Lacey, 12-010, second reading, board policy 9322, agenda meeting materials. Any discussion by members of the board? Okay, let's vote. Member Dunleavy? Member Larson?
Yes.
Member Gaddis?
Yes.
Member Powger?
Yes.
Member Welton?
Yes.
Member Lacey?
Yes.
And I vote yes. Next item, D, 12-011, Frontieris Charter School, 2011-2012 school year calendar amendment. Do we have a report?
Mr. Chairman, Principal Schmidt is in the audience if the board has any questions.
Okay. Any questions from members of the board? Seeing none, is there anyone in the audience who would like to speak? Okay. Do we have a motion?
I move 12-011, Frontieris Charter School, 2011-2012 school year calendar amendment.
Moved by Member Larson. Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Second by Member Welton. 12-011, Frontieris Charter School, 2011-2012 school year calendar amendment. Any discussion by the board? Member Dunleavy, how do you vote? Member Larson?
Yes.
Member Gaddis?
Yes.
Member Powger?
Yes.
Member Welton?
Yes.
Member Lacey?
Yes.
And I vote yes. We're going to get through this fast.
No, you're not.
Well, the next one, it's an interesting one. Item E, 12-012, AASB resolutions. Before we, let's start with a staff report. Do we have a staff report?
Mr. Chairman, I can certainly discuss the four resolutions that AASB would like to move forward and like our board to discuss, but they're also having an open request for any resolutions from school boards across the state. But the primary focus of that they would like to put are adjustments to the foundation formula for K-12, legislative task force on higher education, grade level proficiencies for K through 3 students and graduation rates. Those are the four new resolutions, and they're at the very front of the packet. However, there's also a request for more resolutions if our board would like to discuss this.
Okay. Is there anyone in the audience who would like to speak on this item? Okay. At the retreat, members of the board talked about the possibility of postponing this or perhaps discussing them at this meeting or perhaps appointing a subcommittee to talk about the resolution. So before we entertain a motion, I guess I would like to hear from members of the board what are your wishes. Member Larson.
Well, this to pop up on an action item. My question is, when is this due in? When is the resolution packet due in?
September 23rd.
September 23rd. And this popped up as an action item, and there's 121 changes in here that I tried to weed through and just finally you know, gave up. I guess the question is, how are we going to blend this in with our school board objectives, and how are we going to blend this in with our legislative objectives? Because it's all there, and all we have is this.
Right, right. And
so I think some sort of a different approach before we would vote on on this packet.
And Member Gaddis?
I would like to see if we could have a subcommittee and look at exactly what Member Larson indicated, to kind of dovetail what we've already done and look at what they've requested. So I'm not sure how to go about that, but to go ahead and amend this.
If the majority of the board believe that that's the way to go, we can certainly work on that right now. And if Member Dolnevi is on the phone, but we can certainly talk about setting up a subcommittee. Member Welton, did you have a...
I would like to embed a work session in maybe the next meeting, depending on what's on the agenda for the meeting, making sure that everyone's done their homework so that, that we don't spend a lot of time reading stuff that we should have already read. I have some questions just in general that I need some clarification, and would appreciate our administration weighing in on the new things here. And we know that Mr. Dunleavy was at the board meeting in July where these were passed by the AASB board. So I'd like his input on things.
Okay. So a work session and a in addition to a subcommittee, or instead of a subcommittee?
It could be in addition to, but it could be instead of as well.
Okay. Member Dunleavy, do you have any comments? I'm sorry, but no one can hear you. How about try yelling for a minute?
The vast majority of those resolutions will never get any play by anybody. It's typically the top four is what I'm understanding. And I think, from my position, from what I understand, I think we want to take a look at the new resolution, and if there's any resolutions in that packet that we, the board, do not want to, that we want to make a chance again to take that vote now or not. But once again, there's a lot of resolutions. They're not going to get all of the resolutions. They're not going to allow for any of the areas that we're for. Some of them may end up sunsetting here shortly. There's discussion with the executive board.
Okay, thank you, Member Dunleavy. Member Larson?
So what I'd like to possibly see as a board member is next time this comes up as an action item, it would be the action items that the board and the administration would want us to vote positive on, and for a reason, and the other 117 of them just not be voted on, if that's possible, unless we wanted to vote negative on... On some, but even the four new resolutions that are here that are very important, I don't have enough information on. So
from what I hear him, how about we create a subcommittee at this meeting to make a recommendation, and we have a work session at the next meeting. No action will be taken, and then at the second meeting we take action, and that. Between now and the next meeting, everyone will get an opportunity to send questions to the administration, so then they can also have a say on what their opinion is, and also to members of the subcommittee. If that's okay with everyone, I think that's the way we should do it. And I guess, are there any objections to that?
Well, it's listed as an action item. Somebody has to move it, and then we have to make that. At least that's my understanding of the protocol.
Okay.
So if some, okay, move it and postpone. Okay, so do we have a motion from anyone?
I'd like to move item 12012 AASB resolutions.
Second.
Moved by Member Powger, second by Member Larson, 12-012 AASB resolutions. Is your motion to approve?
I moved to postpone until the second meeting in September. Is that enough time to put the things together to get to AASB?
Okay.
What is the second meeting date?
21st.
The 21st?
21st. And it has to be to them by the
23rd. Okay.
Okay. Member Walton is moving to postpone this until the second meeting in September on the 23rd?
Mm-hmm.
21st. 21st of September. Do we have a
second?
Second by Member Powger. Let's vote on that amendment. Member Walton?
Yes.
Member Lacey?
Yes.
Member Powger?
Yes.
Member Gaddis?
Yes.
Member Larson?
Yes.
And Member Dunleavy?
Yes.
It passes. So, okay. So we will do that, Dr. Paramo. And in regards to the subcommittee, who would like to be on that subcommittee?
I'd like to.
Member Gaddis and
I can.
Member Walton and Member Powger would also like to be. And Member Dunleavy, you're by default a member of any subcommittee. Is that agreeable? Okay. Well, thank you. So we have those four members, and when you decide when to meet, please make sure that administration knows, because they have to give no public notice.
Right.
Okay. So thank you. Next item, F 12-013, superintendent contract objectives. Dr. Paramo, do we have a report?
Yes, from the information that was gathered on Monday night's meeting for the work session, the input from the board was placed, and now you have one solid document rather than three to jumble around. So it was all the discussions and the documents that you saw are embedded into one. Please note on page 7 of 15 at the bottom of the page under the green header, the addition of soliciting feedback is attached. The information about keeping this simple turned into the type of graphic that you see when the funds for each category were listed. What we did were take the objectives and then turn them into the funds. And if this is agreeable, we can do it this way, or we can put it back just as a general number. On page 9, the overall performance determination part of the evaluation is attached. Please know that the separate sheet of creating some type of a scoring guide was placed right within the overall grading. So the first boxes where it states does not meet, partially meets, meets satisfactorily, or exceeds, those are scoring guides for the top listed 8 leadership and district culture categories. Now, staff that I've worked with and in other areas of evaluation can either look at an evaluation very discreetly, like such areas using a scoring guide, or an overall holistic. So those are both attached, and at this time the board has discretion to use them both. And the discussion on Monday night was to create a subcommittee that would design the rubric or scoring guide. That can still happen, but if that doesn't get done, the overall rating is also attached. So at this time, the other, at the very last page of the document, and this was in reference to the manner in which the board was going to work as a team in discussion, we wanted to streamline that, that it could be done in an evening. The contract, when a contract for superintendent is discussed, and similar to my contract written in there, it would discuss that we're going to continue the current contract or move 1 year out. Remember, no contract in the state of Alaska is allowed to move beyond 3 years. And then there would be a discussion on the base salary to maintain it, increase if it's a percentage or a final amount, and then the signatures. So these are items that could be discussed in an executive session when the evaluation is completed. So what we've done is take the feedback and the desire to streamline the system and placed it into one document.
Okay. Any questions for Dr. Parama? Mike, do you have any questions? Okay. This is listed as an action item. Is there anyone in the audience who would like to speak in regards to this item? What are the wishes of the board? Do you have would you like to make a motion?
I'd like to make a motion for discussion purposes for 12-013 superintendent contract objectives.
Okay. A motion to approve the objectives made by Member Larson. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Second by Member Powger. Member Larson?
Yeah, the reason I moved it, because I think this is the proper time to discuss this, right?
Yes.
And the question is, should we leave the monetary on individually? And I think I would kind of prefer to leave it as in each group, because it just indicates that some areas have more objectives than the other, and then if you really look at it, you say, well, is that one more worth than another, that kind of thing. We can break it down as we go along in the thing. I don't believe it needs to be broken down individually in subgroups. So I'd like to see the monetary stay with, the full amount stay in each four groups instead of broken down individually.
I see what you're talking about. And perhaps Dr. Baram or Ms. Gardner can tell us a little more detail on how this was breaking down. But,
Mr. Chairman, may I request
yes.
Ken Forrest to also assist it?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Members of the board, what we did was very simply take all of the objectives, take all of the individual components, strictly added them up and divided it into each subcategory. So the math you see is strictly the total number of lines divided into the total.
Yeah. Yes, Member Gaddis.
And I guess my comment would be I certainly have no problem with mm-hmm. keeping it the way it is unless we as a board look at a particular area and say we'd really like to put more incentive in that particular area than we see now.
Okay.
But I have no problem keeping it the way it is.
Okay. Any other comments? Member Lacey?
The only one I have is most of these numbers are 66666. Can we change that somehow?
I do agree.
Page six.
Page six, five and six.
Member Mr. Forrest.
But we did straight math, but we certainly can adjust the numbers.
Okay. I think members of the board would appreciate that. Member Larson?
Yeah. I don't mind leaving it this way. I just don't... since this will be a public document, I just don't want somebody in the public saying, well, how come building professional capacity is worth more money than, and they will do that, more money than, providing 24/7 business continuity. We can break it down at the end the same way. We know the math there is what I'm getting at. I just don't want the public to think, we think this is worth more than this over here because one has more categories is
okay.
all I was getting at. Just a thought.
Okay. Any other comments? Dr. Brahman, did you want to add something?
The rationale that was used for doing this, and I'll take the blame, is that it was my feeling that since the board moved to a met or did not meet criteria in your discussions, this provided you and the public, frankly, with an opportunity to see once that's met, what amount does that contribute to the total? And just to avoid discussion and mathematics or really to provide transparency, it says, yes, there could be discussion about why is this worth more than the other one. But in reality, we could change the methodology, I believe has been brought up. When the board forms your committee to do the others, you could at that point decide to weight these differently. We were just showing you the basic math. The intent is not necessarily for you to use these weightings, but to say if you publish this from the beginning, because remember, each quarter you're going to be getting a report. Then each quarter you know the progress, as does the superintendent, as to where you're headed to avoid discussion in the future. Well, how all of a sudden, why did the superintendent get $10,000? This way, it's my opinion, it's very clear, very transparent. That $10,000 was derived by adding, and we'll change the 666s. But by adding these components, which made that portion of the performance incentive that the board has designated.
Thank you, Mr. Forrest. Member Dunleavy, do you have any questions or comments? Okay, and did you get a copy of the handout? Okay. Any other questions or comments? Are we ready? Oh, Member Powger?
I'd like to make a motion to approve the attached objectives and evaluation format.
The motion was made to approve this.
So yes, I'm sorry. Okay. I make a motion to an amendment to approve the attached objectives and evaluation format with the rubric and legislative agenda to follow at a later date. The quarterly dates for completion will be October 19th, January 4th, March 21st, and June 30th, 2012. The incentive awarded at the final evaluation date will be paid prior to June 30th, 2012. The three items relating to data not available until after June 30th, 2012, to be awarded and paid in accordance with the superintendent's contract, Article 4, Paragraph C.
Do we have a second to that amendment?
I'll second.
Moved by Member Powger, second by Member Lacey. Any comments on that?
Could I ask for a friendly amendment on that? The January 4th.
We can do friendly amendments.
I propose another amendment.
We can vote on this, vote it up or down, and then another amendment may be made.
So one should have made that suggestion.
We have
just talking about a date here.
Parliamentarian?
I'm not the parliamentarian. I didn't bring my book.
Okay.
I believe you can make one amendment to an amendment, but I may be wrong. It's a yes. It's a yes.
Okay. So yes.
I would like to make one amendment to the amendment.
Okay.
And that's the January 4th date. We always run into issues because the holidays end up coming on the 1st or 2nd, and we never. It's hard to get that all done on the 4th. So if we can move it to the next week sometime.
Okay. So when? Second meeting in January.
18th, right?
18th. January 18th?
Unless you want to work on over the holidays on this.
Okay.
So you want to make it January 18th?
Yeah, because if you remember, 1 year we canceled the, I think it was this year we canceled the first meeting in January because we couldn't get all, everybody was gone on holiday, and we couldn't get the agenda set up for that first week, first meeting in January. I think we canceled it, if I was not wrong. And this way, it's just cleaner to go to the 18th, just in case for some reason our new school board president cancels the first.
Yes.
I'll second it.
It was moved and second.
The amendment to the amendment wasn't seconded,
yes. Okay.
So I'll second.
Okay, so let's vote on that. Member Welton?
Yes.
Member Lacey?
Yes.
I vote yes. Member Powger?
Yes.
Member Gaddis?
Yes.
Member Larson?
Yes.
Member Dunleavy? Okay. Abstain. Okay. Okay. Thank you, Member Dunleavy. So I guess now we have to vote on the First Amendment. Do we?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. As amended. Member Larson.
Yes.
Member Gaddis.
Yes.
Member Powger.
Yes.
Member Welton.
Yes.
Member Lacey.
Yes.
I vote yes. Member Dunleavy.
Abstain.
Okay. And that
Okay. I apologize if this got confusing.
Now the main motion.
Now the main motion that was moved by Member Larson, second by Member Powder, as amended. 12-013, Superintendent Contract Objectives. Member Dunleavy. Member Larson.
Yes.
Member Gaddis.
Yes.
Member Powder.
Yes.
I vote yes. Member Lacey.
Yes.
Member Welton.
Yes.
It passes with one abstention. G, 12-017, Assistant Superintendent of Instruction, new hire, Dr. Paramo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to just introduce Gene Stone. He did that earlier, I guess, but at the end of the table. And he was recently recommended for hire. He came from a candidate pool of about 17 folks, ranging from current folks from around Alaska that serve as in the education capacity, out of state, as well as university experience folks. So he is a stellar principal, was here in our district, as well as in Barrow High School, where he was a high school principal. And I just welcome him aboard. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Paramo. Any? We're just going to follow the same format. Any questions? Is there anyone in the audience who would like to speak about this item? Hearing none, do we have a motion?
I move 12-017, recommendation for hire of Assistant Superintendent of Instructions.
Moved by Member Larson. Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Second by Member Lacey. 12-017, Assistant Superintendent of Instruction, new hire. Member Larson, you made the motion. Would you like to say a few words?
I'd like to listen to Mr. Stone say a few words, to tell you the truth.
All right, Mr. Stone. You have the floor.
Well, this is my sixth year here in the district. I spent 5 years at Palmer Junior Middle School, and really it was a great honor to serve the Palmer community. I look forward to continuing in a capacity of service, and I just hope that I can continue to do the kind of work that Dr. Paramo did. It's big shoes to fill, and I'm looking certainly for a lot of help from folks, but you know, even more so, I'm just really excited to have the opportunity to work with somebody of the caliber of Dr. Paramo.
Thank you. Any other comments from members of the board? Yes, Member Lacey.
Well, I would just like to say that last week I found out about all three of these promotions, and quite frankly, these three individuals, Mr. Oakeson, Mr. Stone, and Mr. Nellis, are the best candidates, I believe, for this these jobs, and I'm glad that we hired from within.
Oh, thank you, and congratulations, and welcome to your new position. Let's take a vote. Member Dunleavy. Member Larson.
Yes.
Member Gaddis.
Yes.
Member Powder.
Yes.
Member Welton.
Yes.
Member Lacey.
Yes.
And I vote yes. Next one is 12-018, Matsu Career and Technical High School Principal, new hire, Dr. Paramo.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. The director of the Career and Technical Program for our district is present. If Mr. DePriest would like to say a few words about the principal.
Please.
Good evening. I'm just honored to share with you that Mark Oakeson has accepted the position for principal of Career and Technical High School. He is a very effective communicator. Comes from a long background of educators in Matsu, and I'm just honored and excited to have him on board. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for administration? Okay. Member Gaddis.
Well, with following the same trend, could we get Mr. Oakeson to say a few words?
Absolutely.
Before or after?
Before or after. I guess we can do it now, please. Mr. Oakeson, if you would like to.
Yeah, you're on the hot seat.
He's not hired yet.
All the more reason to see his communication skills.
I've got a minute to win it. So far, it's been a great week. I'm having a ball over there. I feel very fortunate.
this works out this way. I'm indebted to a lot of people who went to bat for me, Dr. Paramo especially, and I've been very vocal about that. She did not have to see it this way, and I'm very indebted that she did. We've done some very good work this week, I believe. We've done a few changes. We're building rapport, and we had a fantastic first day. So I'm enjoying this job a great deal. I think it is a school with, it's a beautiful facility, and it has wonderful potential to be a leader, as it has been. I hope I can keep it to be a continuing shining star in the career and technical fields in Alaska. So I'm glad to be there. It's really enjoyable. Well, thank you.
Thank you. Do we have a motion? Or, Member Lacey, did you want to?
No, I wanted to move that thing forward.
Okay.
I would like to move 12-018 Matsu Career and Tech High School Principal New Hire.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Moved by Member Lacey, second by Member Larson, 12-018 Matsu Career and Technical High School Principal New Hire. Any discussion? Okay, let's vote. Member Lacey?
Yes.
Member Welton?
Yes.
Member Dunleavy? Member Larson?
Yes.
Member Gaddis?
Yes.
Member Powger?
Yes.
And I vote yes. Welcome. The next item is 12-019 Wasilla High School Assistant Principal New Hire. And I believe that Mr. Nellis is here. And Dr. Paramo, do you have any?
Thank you, Chairman. In that light, I would also invite Principal of Wasilla High School, Ms. Amy Spargo, to come forward.
Please.
Good evening. I am thrilled that we were able to hire Jeff Nellis as our assistant principal. We are missing Mark Okeson greatly and his experience and wisdom and leadership at Wasilla High. But Jeff has jumped up. He has embraced the task, and like I tell everyone, he already looks good and red. He's a Wasilla High School graduate, so he fits right in. We're waiting to see that old letter jacket. So he's a welcome addition to our staff.
Okay. And Mr. Nellis, not to put you in the spotlight, but you might want to come to the front now and say a few words.
Don't get nervous now.
I just want to say how excited I am to be back in the halls of Wasilla High School and to continue the tradition of Wasilla High School and hopefully represent all that Wasilla stands for. I feel very fortunate to be a part of the administrative team at Wasilla High School, and again, to be a part of Wasilla High. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Any questions for staff? Is there anyone in the audience who would like to speak? Okay. Do we have a motion?
Yes. I'd like to move 12-19 Wasilla High School Assistant Principal New Hire.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Moved by Member Lacey, second by Member Larson, 12-019, Wasilla High School Assistant Principal New Hire. Any discussion? Okay, let's vote. Member Dunleavy? Member Welton?
Yes.
Member Lacey?
Yes.
I vote yes. Member Powger?
Yes.
Member Gaddis?
Yes.
Member Larson?
Yes.
Okay. That takes us to non-action items.
And could I intercede real quick?
Yes.
To ask a question? I understand there's another principal in the audience that's brand new. Is that true?
Through the chair?
Yes.
Yes, we have Ms. Schmidt, principal of Front Terrace. We did approve her contract earlier, but she was out of town at the time.
But she's not now.
No. Thank you for noticing.
Well, yeah, you. There you go. We were going to call you, so welcome.
Welcome to all of you, too, tonight. This is great. I'm just super excited to be out at Front Terrace. We've made some good improvements, I think, for student learning. The staff is on board with them. The parents are receiving them well. We've got curriculum. I've got some great help from the folks at the district office to help with curriculum, both Spanish and English. So we're moving forward. It's just exciting. We've been giggling like kids over there during our professional development. I walked around and made it to 7 out of the 11 classrooms today with a packed day with meetings in the middle. But I saw some of the activities that we did at professional development actually being implemented and used, and I got to participate in 2 of them in Spanish, and so I got to practice. That was fun. But anyway, I'm learning a lot. I've had just phenomenal support from every level possible. And so just thank you for approving it, because I am thrilled beyond belief. I'm just happy to be there. So thank you.
Gracias.
All right, let's take a five-minute break, and we'll come back in 5 minutes. Well, we have a quorum with Mike on the phone, but okay, everybody's getting back. Okay, the next item on the agenda are the non-action items. The first one is A 12-014, first reading, Board Policy 3270, Sale and Disposal of Books, Equipment, and Supplies. Dr. Paramo.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Forrest is available for questions if the board has any.
Okay. Mr. Forrest, any members of the board who would like to talk to Mr. ask questions? Member Larson.
We do this every year. We dispose of pallets and pallets of books and things, but nobody's really explained, or I think a lot of them end up in a dump, and nobody's really had a real good plan on disposal to where people could actually utilize it. So is there a different method that we're going to use on the disposal of surplus items?
Member Mr. Forrest.
There are a couple things that this change is intended to do. One is it's intended to make it so we don't have to come back to the board. You'll change the policy and we can conduct business as usual without the delay. The second thing is to answer Member Larson's question. We do make an attempt to see if there are other school districts or organizations who would like the books. In some cases, they do take them. Alaska has one significant disadvantage, and that's the cost of shipping. But there are organizations which we contact to see if they want the books, both in-state and worldwide. And we'll continue that effort in addition to, I believe, the other thing that we've not done here, which I've done on two other occasions, we'll contact JBEAR to see if they've got any leads, because they've got the transports going in and out.
Okay. Member Powager.
Now, from what I remember, when there is surplus or items that can't be used at a particular site anymore, it goes to the main warehouse, and then other schools or other sites are invited to come look at that before it gets sold. So really other sites kind of have first dibs on that before
yes.
we sell it.
And then working with Dr. Paramo and her team, we are moving to better account for all the curriculum items. The objective in the end will be to have all items barcoded so that we can better control where the items are, where they are in use, where they are not in use, and redistribution can occur more effectively.
Any other questions for Mr. Forrest? Member Gaddis?
I do, and it's in regards to computer-type supplies and such dumped in dumpsters at the end of the year. I have a computer kid, but back, she was 4 or 5 years ago, it was very common that, and I said, why are all these things being dumped here? And then they would beat them with baseball bats to destroy them so that nobody could use them, because supposedly they were donated by different companies, and so they couldn't be sold and they couldn't be given away. Because if they were given away, then that would dilute the market and you might not go down and buy yourself a new. So it was a shame to see these destroyed items. And I will say I was part of the traveling with the computer geeks as they went and got lots of computer things and rebuilt and tried to undo all the damages. But I'm not sure. It looked bad.
Okay. Mr. Forrest?
We're not doing that. First off, electronic waste disposal, to put it in a dumpster, would be illegal. You're not supposed to be disposing of many of the components in computers in dumpsters. There's hazardous materials. So we believe we've shut that down. We're also participating in a program with Dell that assists in the recycling of components, since we're at the present time pretty much all Dell. It's my understanding that Apple has a very similar program, and as we work with Apple, if we buy more of their products, I'm not aware if they have it here in Alaska. I am aware that they've had it in other areas. Mm. So we'll work to make sure that does not happen. First off, one of the criteria that I've used successfully other places, and I'm sure we are doing it here already, is computers that are at the high school level can be cycled down, and you move them down. Computers which may not be appropriate for instructional activities at the high school level many times are very appropriate at the elementary level. And so we're going to make sure we use our electronic components correctly and that they are disposed of in accordance with statutes and done in a manner that is inappropriate with law and board policy.
Member Lacey?
I just wanted to point out that all the years I taught vocational classes, major manufacturers would donate, let's say, a motorcycle. And in that donation letter, they specifically say this has to be destroyed at the end of its useful life for their liability purposes. And I don't know how many machines that after we used it, we destroyed it. It was a learning experience, but we destroyed it and threw it away, and that's how it had to be disposed of.
And I guess that was my understanding that same type of thing happened. I will tell you, from a community standpoint, it looks like we're being really wasteful.
Yeah, on the electronic components, I will just give you a very specific example. The military, and this is an editorial comment, the Air Force recycles all computers every 3 years. We only wish we could recycle, afford to recycle every 3 years. As a result, they have thousands of computers which are available at that third year cycle, and school districts are eligible to obtain them. The problem is they remove the hard drive.
Right.
And so what you have is a computer that is out of, quote-unquote, the agreements we currently have with Dell, our major supplier, which provide for that recycling. And so presently, just to make sure, we're in the Dell Recycle program. And so we are not disposing, we're using the Dell Recycle program.
My only question with that is that my understanding is that if you're using state funds to buy some of that computer equipment, that they have very specific ways in which you have to dispose the data on the hard drive, and would that not be also against your agreement with Dell, because you would probably have to sometimes remove hard drives? I guess it depends on the grants that you're using.
Yeah, there's very effective software. In fact, the military has a mil-spec on the software, and that was one of our complaints in Travis, to be honest with you. They weren't using the software because it took too much time. Mm-hmm. So they were removing the hard drives, which really made them almost useless. So the military does have a mil-spec on software. That software is readily available, and it does wipe the hard drive.
Okay. Any other questions for Mr. Forrest or Dr. Parama? Anyone in the audience who would like to speak on this? This is a non-action item. Okay. So we'll cover this at the next meeting. Next item is 12-020AR 4312, Principal Selection Process Discussion. Dr. Parama?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The primary issue that for discussion tonight is on the principal selection process, not in regard to the BP. The BP is fine, but we put this on there. Prior to last year, we operated with AR 4312A, mainly at the bottom of the page where it says Principal Interview Committee, underlined and in bold, the committee consisted of two district office administrators, one principal, two representatives from the school advisory committee, and a school board member. Last year, the AR simply removed a school board member at a request from a school board member in a discussion, and so Dr. Burnley requested that be removed. It was removed in AR and shared with the board and went through fine. Later, there was a request from a board member that said, I would like to discuss that and see if we can get the AR back on. To let you know, I did work with staff and directors, those that
the administrators that do the hiring. And we found, and I've been on 17 personal hires myself, that I'm not sure for the impetus to take it off or to add it back on. I don't have any information in specific regard to that, but it was really a non-issue with administration. Therefore, on the front, it does say the board has discretion. We've operated without a board member as well as with a board member and haven't found one to be more favorable or not than the other. I'd like to make an editorial note that the second paragraph under that states that two candidates for each position will be recommended to the chief school administrator for principal. And I want you to know that the hire of Mark Olkeson for CTHS was a direct result of that. Back in the spring, Mr. Olkeson did apply along with Mr. Stone. So it's funny how we're all in this for CTHS, and Mr. Olkeson was the runner-up candidate. And so when Mr. Stone left and school hadn't started, I referred back to the process for the hire of Mark Olkeson. Similar happened with Mr. Nellis. Mr. Nellis applied for Wasilla High as an assistant and was runner-up. And so when a new assistant opened at Wasilla, Ms. Spargo considered him. So that's just an editorial side note so that we actually use our ARs with efficacy, I feel. But at this point in time, it's really for board discussion.
The one comment I want to make before is I do think that the AR changed, but I believe that the board policy also changed at another meeting.
May I? The board policy changed in regard to Mat-Su Central School only. It states that a principal will not simply be placed. It's the second paragraph of the board policy. The first paragraph discusses this process, which is a committee. There's a short paragraph, very short on the second one, and it states that the superintendent has discretion to place principals in buildings, except for in the case of Mat-Su Central School. That's the only change to the BP that was made last year.
Okay. Thank you. Member Gaddis?
I had a question, and that would regard to the superintendent essentially has the right and authority to hire their own principals. So given the situation that we've recently gone through, and even though you were not superintendent at the time, you could have chosen to start the process all over again, choose your own principal, or take the second runner-up, if you will. So those three options are always available to the superintendent, correct?
Through the chair?
Yes.
Okay. Absolutely. Okay. You stated them very well.
So, you know, I think the challenge is that that there is a process that I think people on advisory committees feel that they're honored, that whole process is honored. The secondary challenge is you get a new superintendent, they have a different style, and, you know, in this case, school starts very quickly, whatever. So I think that one of the thoughts were, and I've done some homework with past board members and some present board members, and really it has to do with honoring those people that were on those advisory committees from the beginning and that their work that they did. And I guess I'm not speaking to having a board member on this committee. I've struggled with the fact that we're not the people that hire them. Now, I've spoken to people, and they say, boy, I tell you, just having a board member there really changes how things happen. But at the end of the day, if we respect the process, I think that it works well. So,
any other comments? Member Lacey?
Excuse me. I don't believe a board member should be on these hiring committees. For one, we have the final say in this. Some of the input from there should be channeled towards the superintendent, but the superintendent has the final determination, period. And for me, I do not believe a school board member should be on the committee. On the same token, Principal Brown over at Mat-Su Central asked me to be on their advisory committee, and it says the school board member is a voting member. And I told him I do not want to vote because it's not an ethical thing to do, and we make the final decisions on these things anyway. So with that being said, I don't believe a school board member needs to be there.
Any other comments? Member Dunleavy? Okay. I believe I understand what you said, but I could barely hear you. Thank you. Okay. Any other comments? All right. So let's move on to the... Was that your hand for a comment?
Does this need to come up to an action item?
It could or it could not.
Okay.
And I think what I'm sensing here is that it shouldn't. So.
Okay.
Next item, C12-021, first reading, board policy 5142.2, return to play, athlete head injury. Dr. Paramo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Executive Director LeBron McPhail is available for questions if you have any. And may I request he come to the front table. Thank you.
Please do.
Good evening, board members and Dr. Paramo. This policy comes to you because of House Bill 15. House Bill 15 is coming to you from things that have come to light in regards to head injuries, both from a high school, college, and professional level here. Basically what this says here is that if a kid receives a substantial concussion, then they are to be removed from either practice or a game. And that could be dizziness or not remembering where they are, those type of things there. The other piece of this here is that they have to see a healthcare provider. So they would go and see a healthcare provider, and they would have to do certain things to be able to return back to play. The last piece here is when they talk about a second impact syndrome. If a brain has not healed and a child happens to receive a second concussion, that could be very devastating to that individual. So that is another piece that they have found out through literature that has come forth in regards to this here. The last things here in working with ALSA, the Alaska Student Activity Association, I have to work in conjunction with them. Just so you know, we're one of the first to kind of be leading out on this here. As I look at other districts out there, I have not seen what they have brought forward in a board policy. So we have to work in conjunction. So I'm doing that with our healthcare providers here in the district. Whether you know it or not, this past summer, we worked with the Mat-Su Regional Hospital in regards to education.
And Mr. McPhail will be available for questions.
Okay. Member Lacey?
Yes. Is there a threshold level for how many times one of our students has his bell rung before he's taken totally out of the game? Do you know what I mean? Totally out of the season. Head injuries, it's my understanding, are cumulative in nature. Is this true?
That is right. And the person that would determine that would be their health care provider.
Okay. But, excuse me, yes, through a follow-up, do we keep track of how many times these students are injured?
At this point in time, we do have a measurement of being able to determine that. Have we done that in the past? That would be a no.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Member Larson.
Being part of the Activities Committee and having some discussion with coaches and some health care providers on this issue, our policy will read that students who have suspected of having sustained a concussion during practice or a game shall be immediately removed from that practice or game. And we often think of, you know, football or hockey, but so many concussions are happening in so many other sports. I saw it one year in a cross-country meet where a kid tripped and got piled upon. The question I guess I got is, are the coaches and assistant coaches going to be trained on how to determine a kid's got a concussion and how to pull them out, either in a practice or a sport that does not have a health care provider there? So you see why I'm waiting with this?
We started that this summer. We plan on doing another one in the fall. We'll do one more in the spring.
So if there's a sport game, or let's just say, let's take cross country, there's usually not a health care provider there. If a kid gets a concussion and is pulled out of that, then they would have to go to their health care provider in order to get a waiver to come
return.
Back.
Exactly.
Okay. And our coaches and assistant coaches, because, you know, kids don't want to come out of anything.
And this is one reason why we're trying to educate the public, and also the students, so they will know that if a kid comes into a huddle, he doesn't remember the play or what happened, he's acting groggy or something like that. So we're trying to educate all, both coaches, both referees, et cetera.
And the other issue, which I have talked to you about, and I'm sure you're going to address, is the term healthcare provider. And that's statewide definition that hasn't been determined yet. Is that correct?
Exactly. It's kind of vague at this point in time. We're trying to determine what that is. At this point in time, we do say healthcare provider.
Okay. Any other questions? Member Dunleavy, do you have any questions? Okay, so this item will come at the next meeting. Is there anyone in the audience who would like to speak regarding this item? Okay, we are done with the non-action items. So future items, future business, we have a meeting September 7th, and then that's a regular school board meeting, and a joint meeting with the borough September 13th at 6 p.m. Are there any other items that need to be discussed right now regarding future items? Very well. We have our second portion of persons to be heard on non-agenda items, and I can read the rules again. I guess I should. Specifically, under the speaker states his/her name for the record. The speaker is limited to 3 minutes per meeting. The speaker is limited to non-agenda items. Agenda items will be open for public comment as they appear on the agenda. The speaker's comments should be appropriate for all audiences, including school-aged children. The speaker is limited to comments of a general nature, positive or negative, which may not be attributable to any specific individual. Issues involving concerns specific to any single individual should be submitted in writing and given to the board clerk to be resolved. The issue may be determined to be appropriate for persons to be heard or may be handled in executive session or may be routed through a more appropriate complaint process. No disturbance or willful interruption of any board meeting shall be permitted. Persistence by an individual or group shall be grounds for the chair to terminate the privilege of addressing the meeting. The board may remove disruptive individuals and order the room cleared if necessary. This is not a question and answer time. Speakers may refer to the superintendent or designee or take the issue under advisement, maximum of 1 hour per meeting. Madam Clerk, do we have anyone on the list?
No.
Is there anyone in the audience who would like to speak? I hope so. I just read all that. Okay. Thank you. And the next item on the agenda is comments from school board and administration. Let's start with administration. Dr. Paramo.
I don't have any further comments. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Stone.
Not at this time.
Mr. Forrest.
Just a brief comment to remind the board that you did authorize capital expenditure for the Houston bus loop. That was bid. The work was put out. And then we have rain. And so we are delayed, and it's weather delays is our problem. And so we're moving forward as quickly as possible. That's being done to improve the safety for the students and access between the two buildings. And in addition to that, we can significantly improve the busing efficiency by having that central drop-off. So just a brief update, we have been delayed. We do not anticipate, obviously, being ready by the time school opens today. I do not have an update for the board at this time because it's raining.
Okay. Thank you. Let's start with comments. Our student rep, do you have any comments?
I have no comments.
Okay. Member Welton?
I know you want to hear that I was at the Justice Coalition this morning. It's the third Wednesday of the month, and we would like to see people from the school district there. Discussion of a new program in the Valley for kids who are not in detention yet, but they are on their way there without this intervention. This intervention is based out of the Boys and Girls Club, but it has a substance abuse aspect and behavioral aspect, and that was presented this morning. So for those of you who are working with teenagers and need those kind of interventions, that's in the Valley now. And we heard from a couple of other youth corrections and probation concerning this program. So, and hopefully next month we'll see a few people there. I did make it to several of the open houses, and I will pass that information on to Stacy. Thank you.
Thank you. Member Lacey.
I just would like to say that the last meeting I was ill. The biggest thrill of my life is being elected, and which means that you be at every meeting. I had one foot on the grave and one foot on a banana peel, and that's why I was not here to speak. So
okay.
I'm back now.
Well, I think that all of us are certainly glad that you're feeling better. Member Dunleavy, comments? Okay. Member Larson.
I just want Mr. Forrest hadn't been in the state for one whole year. It could rain all the way till it starts to snow because the fair is on the way. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Correct. So good luck out there at Houston. No other comment. Thank you.
Okay. Member Gaddis?
I have no comment.
Member Bowser?
Just wanted to say I'm looking forward to a great school year with my boys, and hopefully they'll make it a great school year.
Okay. My only comment is that, well, I have to thank you for your patience. I don't get to chair as often, but this went really fast, so thank you. And congratulations to our new school leaders, and I'm looking forward to a very successful year. So do we need an executive session?
No, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. So do we have a motion to adjourn?
I make a motion we adjourn this meeting.
Moved by Member Lacey. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Second by Member Welton. We have to do a roll call. Member Dunleavy.
Yes.
Member Welton.
Yes.
Member Lacey.
Yes.
I vote yes. Member Bowser.
Yes.
Member Gaddis.
Yes.
Member Larson.
Yes.
And we're adjourned. Thank you.